Hey, everybody, this is Adam Alexander from NASCAR on Fox. You're listening to the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan.
Hello, beautiful people. It is the week of August the 2nd. Tyler Reddick is apparently the new road course king, and this program begins now. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? As you cannot see, I am really outside and loving life right now. So you may wonder, who is this? Oh, it is Mr. Brian Timothy Delano. And like always, I am hosting this beautiful program available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and more. Alongside with me is one of my groomsmen in my wedding. But most importantly, he's our editor-in-chief. He is a rising superstar among the industry in the NASCAR world. He likes a team that, for some reason, I don't know why, called Virginia Tech, and apparently is in love with Aaron Rodgers, but that is okay, because I do love Aaron Rodgers, too. But most importantly, he loves racing. Michael Massey joins the program. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable, Massey. How are you doing, my friend?
Wow, what an intro. Oh,
I love it. I love it. Just trying to make Pat proud.
Another rising superstar in the NASCAR as well, Mr. Brian Nolan.
Thank you. Another rising superstar in the NASCAR world. How about a driver? And that being Tyler Reddick. You see what I did there in that transition? Just boom, boom, boom. A couple weeks ago, Tyler Reddick was zero for many, many races in the win column in the NASCAR Cup Series. After the last week of July, he is two wins in the win column, winning at Road America and then winning at the Indianapolis Road Course. What's up with Tyler Reddick and being a road course king? Obviously, we know Chase Elliott, Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez. They all are good at road courses. But apparently, Tyler Reddick has said, I'm going to bring myself to the party. And you know what? I think I'm going to show these guys I can win races, too. And two races for two road courses. Number eight car's got it going on.
Yeah, I think Tyler Reddick is finally, you know, it's year three for him in the Cup Series, so he's got a little experience, but he's still young and daring enough to make those moves, those bold moves, and dive in a little deeper than everybody else. So with that, plus the experience that he's got now, he's becoming a dangerous driver. It's kind of like Chase Elliott when he hit year three, he really took off. So you see drivers just start winning. Right. And the one thing about it is the road courses are kind of an equalizer. You know, you see Front Row Motorsports run well because they have two talented road course drivers now. But Reddick, you know, RCR, it's not bad equipment, but I'd say it's a step below like Hendrick and some of those others, Trackhouse. So you get to a road course, it kind of equals out and Reddick can really display his talent.
I mean, two wins in the past five races. Obviously, he crashed at Atlanta, just was off at Loudon, and then finished second at Pocono after Hamlin and Kyle Busch were disqualified. This guy is on an absolute roll. Might as well call him Butter because he is on a roll, Massey. I mean, you got the little play on words there from yours truly. Thank you very much. But a guy that was on a roll through the first half of the season was Ross Chastain, and he kind of took a unique approach to this restart. He could have pulled a Joey Logano and dive-bombed and probably wrecked a couple cars, but he said, I think I've wrecked a little too many this year and caused too many feelings being hurt, and so I'm going to go the access route, which is turn four backwards, and he came out second. Apparently, NASCAR said, no, and disqualified him or gave him a 30-second penalty. I don't know which one. Your overall thoughts on this, because I was listening to Door Bumper Clear, Brett Griffin spots for Justin Haley, and he was noticing it, and he was like, you know what, if you have to avoid a wreck, just go for it. NASCAR's not going to penalize you, and they didn't penalize anyone until the final restart in the final two laps. Should Ross Chastain have been penalized, and just what needs to happen so that this doesn't become a thing for other road courses that have these access routes available?
He should not have been penalized. It's ridiculous that him and Austin Dillon got penalized at the end because people have been doing that all weekend. Like you said, Brett Griffin and those guys said that they've been watching people do that Friday through Sunday, doing that same move. And nobody ever got penalized, but all of a sudden, oh, Chastain just used it to take the lead. Now it's this great offense. I thought it was a big brain move by Ross Chastain.
Okay, Noah Gregson.
So, and yeah, it was just a way of skirting into that gray area, which NASCAR is supposed to be about, exploring the gray area, right? That's what all the teams are bending the rules and stuff to make their car the fastest. Well, Ross Chastain just found a way around the track that's a little bit faster than everybody else. to quote Denny Hamlin, Denny said you could have just stopped, came to a complete stop, and it might have been, and still taking that access road, and it might have still been faster than going turn one.
I mean, it definitely would have been faster than what Hamlin was doing this past weekend. Good God, he couldn't keep it straight. I mean, my Lord, he was bad. We'll get to that in a little bit, but kind of what you were saying about just the calamity and everything, about like Hamlin saying he was just going all just crazy and everything. It feels like when you get a green, white checkered or the two laps to go playoff, whatever, I don't know, whatever it's called now, it feels like, you know what, whatever. If we wreck, we wreck. If we hurt feelings, we hurt feelings. I don't care. The lack of respect is out the window. And we see it again. And I feel like it's getting worse and worse, because you're seeing trucks and their drivers, seeing Xfinity and their drivers not give two, you know what. And it's becoming worse and worse. And we're seeing intentional wrecks. John Hunter Nemechek with Taylor Gray. We saw Noah Gregson with Sage Karam at Road America. And then you got guys that are champions, and Joey Logano going five wide, and they're just wrecking people for what? To get up to finish sixth? I mean, he's got two wins already. He doesn't need to wreck people to finish sixth. I mean, that's stupid. We don't points race anymore, Joey. I mean, come on. With that being said, it feels like the lack of respect is getting worse and worse. So how do we stop the bleeding and actually have a little more, you know, hard racing, but it's not a demolition derby?
Yeah, I think that, well, I think it all kind of goes back to Joey Logano, right? He kind of came up through the ranks doing that, and it's followed people looking up to him, young kids looking up to him. They're like, oh, I could just wreck a guy and go win a NASCAR Cup championship. There's no way he was going to make that corner. It was not going to happen. But it didn't matter, because all he had to use was he used 12 tires, or no, he used like 20 tires to make the corner.
Not wrong.
Yeah. I think that the way you've talked about it on this podcast before, with Grant Enfinger saying send people to the back, I think that's a big part of it. You got to start penalizing people. Maybe not even, you know, first offense, send them to the back. Second offense, penalize them a lap. You start doing stuff like that for whoever causes wrecks, whether or not it brings out a caution, and they might start to tone things down. But also, I think NASCAR doesn't want to tone it down. I think they like the chaos, because everything we saw at the end of that race, we'll see in the commercial for it next year.
And that's the bad thing, is they don't see the hard racing like we saw with Parker Kligerman and Zane Smith at Mid-Ohio. We see the wrecks, and we see, oh, Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, they got into it. Oh, Joey Logano went five wide. Oh, Harrison Burton flipped at Daytona. We got to put that on a commercial. No, they don't do the hard racing. They do the wrecks and everything. And Ryan Blaney, this was a great article from Nate Ryan what Ryan Blaney said. He said, it's just a case of getting wrecked. That's all people do at the end of these things. They just drive in here and wreck you. I don't know who shoved who, and I don't care. But tires don't matter at the end. We restarted top three both times. The tires didn't matter. It's just a matter of getting through on the restart. But apparently that's a hard thing to ask, because people just run over each other. Once again, that was Ryan Blaney. And I don't know where NASCAR is going to be with this. What's it gonna take? So I think I'm just gonna ask you, what is it gonna take?
I don't know. Well, first off, let's correct Blaney a little bit. He cared a little bit, because he cared enough to go wreck Daniel Suarez after the checkered flag. True. So he's kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth there. But no, it's something that you got to coach these kids the respect. When they're kids, these drivers, when they're kids, they need to learn to race with respect. It's something that's got to be taught coming up the ranks. But also, I don't know, there needs to be some kind of incentive for clean driving. I don't know, maybe that get Mr. Clean as a sponsor or something.
Hey.
Have a clean driver of the race award, or
okay.
I don't know, it's something like that to just. It needs to be incentivized. Maybe TV does an interview with whoever had the cleanest race, or I'm just making stuff up, but
yeah. I mean, if they don't want to sponsor the race, they can definitely sponsor the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan. I mean, I'm just saying it may be a little bit cheaper than sponsoring a race. So I'm just, you know, I just reach out to the sales team, Mr. Clean, and give a little, Brian Nolan sent you, just, you know, FYI there. Another guy that got sent, and unfortunately it was maybe kind of a blessing in disguise, was Ty Dillon, because Kyle Larson, something happened and he just went straight into the turn one corner sideways. And thank God Ty Dillon was there, because if he wasn't, he would probably be going into the barriers or the turn four or hospitality tents. I don't know. The side of Ty Dillon's car was literally almost in two, Michael. Very scary incident. I'm glad both those were okay. But the thing is, HMS said the brakes were fine. Something's not adding up here. What am I missing, if you know? And then how can we prevent this for the future?
Yeah, so if nothing, HMS is basically blaming Larson for it, if you read between the lines.
Pretty much.
That one of the greatest drivers in the world got to one of the hardest turns in NASCAR and was like, I'm going all out. I ain't lifting. I'm going to put my foot to the floor and just drive through this corner. There's no sense of me slowing down or using the brakes at all. I'm going all out. I'm going to kill Ty Dillon right now. That's what HMS is basically saying about one of the best drivers in the world. It's ridiculous. They think we're idiots, huh? I don't know what, they're trying to accomplish. Something failed on that car, or something happened to Larson, for maybe he blacked out for a second or something. I'm just speculating, but there's way more to the story than what they're letting on. I don't know.
The entire thing is shady, because Larson denied an interview, not just with our own Mark Crystal. He denied an interview with TV. And I mean, sure, Larson's obviously not like that, but he is always, you know, he's a little bit quiet and everything. He would always talk with the media. So something's going on. I don't know what it is. I don't even know if we'll ever hear about it, maybe through the back channels or something. But something did happen that we're not hearing about. And maybe we'll hear about it. Maybe we won't. We're just going to have to wait and see. What I also want to have wait is you, Mr. Michael Massey, because you're going to stay right there. We're going to be playing an interview that I conducted a little bit ago with the driver of the number 11 car for Colleg Racing, that being Daniel Hemric, the 2021 NASCAR Xfinity champion. We talked a plethora of things, from what was he more nervous for, the Phoenix restart or his first child's birth? We talked even a little bit about golfing, big golfer here. And then he obviously loves to golf as well. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about racing if he wants to move up to the Cup Series and more. So here's my interview that I conducted a little bit ago with Daniel Hemric, driver of the number 11 car for Colleg Racing and the 2021 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion. And right now, folks, at this time, I'm going to bring into the program, he is the driver for the Colleg Racing team, but most notably the 2021 Xfinity Series champion. Daniel Hemric joins the program. Daniel, thanks so much for coming on, my friend. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Actually, as we speak out here, walking the Indy Road course before we kick off here for practice in our AG1 Camaro here with Colleg Racing. So trying to get refamiliarized with racetrack and doing good.
Right on, man. Now, I'm a big-time golfer. I love golfing on the weekends when I'm not watching some racing. And I saw that you did some golfing yesterday at the Brickyard. What was that like? And first and foremost, most importantly, how'd you shoot?
Yeah, that was a great event, man. Every time you get a chance to play the Brickyard Cross here at Indianapolis, it's a can't-miss event. Chevrolet actually but kind enough put on an event for their NASCAR folks as well as their IndyCar folks, kind of a head-to-head competition. So we kind of got paired by their choosing with other NASCAR guys, IndyCars with IndyCar guys. It was just a serious competition. So I think it was all said and done. We shot about 12 over. Unfortunately, that was not good enough to put us in the trophy hunt anyways, if you want to call it. But we had a good time, man, and great camaraderie with everyone involved.
I love it, my friend. And you also got some big news. You revealed a couple, I think it was a couple weeks ago, or even maybe like a week ago, that you're going to become a dad again. What's just that process been like? And I got to ask, more nervous, the restart at Phoenix or the moments before you were a dad for the first time?
Oh, my gosh. For sure, the moments before becoming a dad. Man, anybody's ever experienced that, any parent, I mean, that's unlike anything you ever experience in your lifetime, I do believe. But yeah, it's, it was an incredible experience the first time we were able to welcome my little girl Ren into the world, and found out, like I said earlier this week, that be a dad to a little boy that'll be here early January. So we're excited about that. Wife and I, Kenzie, are so thankful and blessed in more ways than we can ever even imagine. So yeah, just enjoying this the ride of our own and doing a little racing in between.
Let's dive into that racing, my friend. Daniel Hemrick, a driver from Cog Racing, joins the podcast this week. Obviously, the results this year haven't quite mirrored what you were able to put together last season. So what's been the biggest difference on track this season? And then have you had to approach any of this year differently?
Yeah, I think, you know, I came into it, you know, with as much of an open mind as I feel like I could have. Obviously, having a little bit of experience in RCR cars back in 2017-18 on the Xfinity side, thought I had a pretty decent idea of what to expect, considering Colic Racing's alliance with Richard Childress Racing. But as soon as we got past the initial race of Daytona, I had a little bit of a hard time just kind of getting our feet underneath this. Struggling a little bit, trying to get the balance where I wanted. And as a whole, you know, we've not been ashamed to say that we feel like, you know, all three of our cars haven't necessarily had the speed week in and week out. There's glimmers of hope here and there, but we just haven't been able to put it all together. And when you find yourself not necessarily having the speed, you got to put yourself in more compromising positions than you want to at different parts throughout the race. And that got me in trouble many times throughout the first 10 to 12 races. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a grind here, but we're all trying to work towards the one goal of seeing get our Chevrolets where we can race for wins. And right now, you know, finishing races and bringing home cars that we can work on is a you know, going to be a key to that. It has been a key to that the last couple of weeks, and that's what we're going to have to continue to do to continue to get our feet underneath this and hopefully get it worked out where we can you know, feel good about what we have once the playoffs kick off.
Obviously, your first year with Colic, biggest difference between JGR and Colic is what?
I mean, I think, you know, JGR has been around for quite some time in comparison to Colic Racing, and, you know, when you have an organization of that size, if they feel like at any given point of getting off path, yes, they have a ton of employees and a ton of bandwidth to kind of steer a ship that big. They can steer it quickly. Here within Colic Racing, you know, they're still fairly young in the grand scheme of things. So this being one of the first years that they've actually kind of digressed in speed, from what I understand from my teammate AJ Allmendinger and Chris Rice and everyone involved, you know, this being the first year they've digressed in speed, it's, okay, how do we pivot this ship? And you're also involved with an alliance partner who you're trying to help navigate that rotation to try to figure out how to get on the other side of being better. And I think just that bandwidth of being able to do that at a really fast rate is a little different. But it's also kind of easy. It makes it easier for yourself to step back and tell yourself to be patient with the process, understanding what's going on around you. And yeah, just having to trust your direction and stay true to it.
Daniel Hemrick, driver of the number 11 car for Colic Racing, joins the program here. Daniel, you had some cup starts. You've had five of them so far. Biggest difference from what you've seen between the cup car this year and the Xfinity car this year?
Everything. you know, your feedback you get inside the race car, you know, from the tires, through the steering wheel, the seat of your pants sensation that you've kind of become accustomed to feeling in really not even cup now to Xfinity cars, but cup now to any kind of car you ever drive. So it's been a new challenge for everyone. And I think that's why the racing you've seen for the most part has been so, so good. And so, I guess, you know, the mix of cars and organizations you see inside the top 15, top 10 every single week has been so different week to week because of that. But I think it's from the fan side. Yes, I ran a handful of races this year in it, but the ones I haven't ran, I've been very intrigued watching it as a fan. So it's been fun to see everyone kind of tweak and tune and learn how to develop that car to everybody's different driving suits. And, yeah, it's been fun to watch.
Now, this year, the Cup guys have been like, it's way harder to drive. You've driven Cup cars. You drove a couple in 2018 and then a full year in 2019. Through the five races that you have driven in the Cup Series this year, is the car harder to drive? And then is it harder to drive than the Xfinity Series car?
You know, the Xfinity Series car currently, in the way the package has been for a while, it's been one of the hardest cars to drive in the grand scheme of NASCAR racing, I feel like. But then when this next gen came along, it's not that it's so hard to drive. It's so hard to drive at the limit. I mean that the tire, you know, the sidewall's a lot shorter. You find yourself being way more on edge. So it makes finding where the edge of your limit is way more a fine line. So I'll say that's been the toughest part for everyone involved to try to figure out inside the cars.
A couple more things here before we let you go. Obviously, like I mentioned, you had a full-time season in 2019 in the Cup Series. Are you content with driving in Xfinity, or would you want to be in full-time Cup? And then if there is a full-time Cup car for Colleague available, would you be interested in that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I may just transition over to Colleague Racing because I believed in Matt Colleague, Chris Rice's vision of where they wanted to see Colleague Racing, not only in 2022, but 23, 4, 5, and beyond. So I'm here to be a part of that path, part of the growing of the organization. And I mean, I love the opportunity to have here to drive this 11 Colleague Racing Chevrolet every single week, full-time in the Xfinity Series. But I wouldn't have made this move if I didn't think or if I didn't want to get back to the Cup level on a competitive full-time basis. Obviously, a couple of slick starts. We've had some decent runs, but also had some missed opportunities of having better runs. So love the opportunity to run full-time at that level, but also know it's part of the process, and I'm patient with whatever Chris Rice and Matt Colleague feel is best for me at this time.
Last but not least, my friend, what is it going to take for you to get another win under your belt and then go back-to-back in the Xfinity Series for the Xfinity Series Championship?
Yes, we talked about that trust in the process, man. It's going to be doing that and then getting our balance to where myself and our teammates feel like, you know, we can run fast without having to be as compromising of the positions we're putting ourselves in. If we can hone in on that, we'll be able to slowly but surely find ourselves battling up inside the top five on a regular basis. And when you do that, you have chances to win. That's where we got to get to.
Pennzoil 150 at the Brickyard Saturday, July the 30th, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. You can catch Daniel going for his first win of the season and then his second overall win. Daniel, thank you so much for the time, my friend. Good luck this weekend, and then good luck the rest of the way, my friend.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Daniel Hemric, driver of the number 11 car for Colleague Racing, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, joining the Front Stretch Podcast with Brian Nolan. Once again, big thanks to Carly McTuck from Colleague Racing. Big thanks to Daniel Hemric, and then big thanks to Michael Bachman. People don't know how much of a help Mike Bachman is. Editing, does all the grunt work, and then never gets any of the credit. So I want to make sure the credit is well deserved, because apparently I don't give enough credit to him, because this co-host was giving me a little bit of grief about it. Mr. Michael Massey, our content director, suffering Virginia Tech and apparently a Green Bay Packer fan, Aaron Rodgers lover, and friend of Pat McAfee's, he wishes. Michael Massey joins the program. Massey, before we dive into Michigan, you had actually a funny story you told me off the air that you wanted to dive into with Daniel Hemric about you talked with him, what was it, 3 years ago?
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. I was pretty new at the whole NASCAR media thing and was interviewing him in person. And it just points out just how much of a stand-up guy Daniel Hemric is. Because I looked about halfway through the interview and it, for some reason, my device had quit recording. And it was all gone. It was all
like Michael.
It was all gone. It was gone. So I was starting to like panic, freak out. I was like, it's gone. It's gone. And Hemric was like, run it back. Just run it back. Start over. And he had me just start the whole interview over. And second time was the charm. Came out great. That you can find the article somewhere in the Front Stretch archives.
Okay, be honest with me. Which was a better interview? The first one you didn't record, or the last, or the second one you did record?
I don't know. He really kind of gave the same answers both times. So credit to him. I really think he had his thoughts a little more together the second time, what he was going to say. And I think the second time might have been better, honestly.
Gotcha. Interesting. No, he's a good guy. It was kind of funny, a little behind the scenes for you guys. He was literally walking the Indianapolis road course track while he was talking with me. So if you see like pictures of drivers walking the track and they have a cell phone, they may be doing some media availabilities. I was on the other side of that media availability. You saw Hemric with a phone in his ear while he was walking the track. That being last week, moving on this week, we're diving into the 2 mile Oval at Michigan International Speedway. They had two dates. They moved it back to one standalone race for the Xfinity and the Cup boys. Michael, two races now down to one. We saw the great turnout at Pocono when they had one date. Saw the great turnout at Loudoun. Now they have one date. Are we going to see a jam-packed crowd at Michigan, knowing that they just have one date?
I hope so, because I like Michigan. I feel like it's kind of a unique track that has a lot of potential. Even if the racing isn't always amazing there, it has the potential for great racing, I feel like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you'll definitely have more, because that was one of those deals. It was kind of like Pocono, where the two dates were so close together that it really felt like it was splitting the fans up to go to one or the other. It was hard to go to both, which I think that was bad scheduling for Michigan and Pocono.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of sabotaged their second race, but that's a whole other story. But, yeah, so attendance would definitely be better. I don't know if it'll be jam-packed, but hopefully the fans will prove me wrong, and we'll have a sellout or something.
Fingers crossed. I mean, let's dive into this racetrack at Michigan. Obviously, we've seen a sort of similar track in Fontana. That's also a 2 mile, and that was absolutely incredible. I was there. I covered that race for Front Stretch all the way back in March, and it was awesome. Just to witness just the wild, wild racing that we saw there. So is it going to be more like what we saw at Fontana, Michael, or could we potentially see something like Atlanta, where we're seeing a little bit of drafting on the straightaways and even into the turns?
It's going to be somewhere in the middle, because you're not going to get the tire wear that you get at Fontana or Auto Club, but it's not going to be straight up pack racing like Atlanta. I think, well, the cars will be kind of hard to handle like in Atlanta. I don't think you'll see the draft matter as much. We'll see, though. It's a new car. You go in there for the first time, and hopefully it's performed really well at intermediate tracks, and hopefully it does well here at Michigan, too.
Five out of the last six drivers that have won at Michigan have not won this year. Four of those were Kevin Harvick. Ryan Blaney was the other one. Overall, let's look at contenders. Could we be seeing maybe a winless streak be broken by the number 12 or by the number 4? Or who are you going to be keeping your eye on this weekend?
Yeah, it's tough to go in on a Ford, because it feels like the Fords are a little off right now. But the last time I said that, Joey Logano popped up and won two races.
Very true.
So, And Kevin Harvick, he's got that winless streak, but it's so hard to just discount him. He's so good at Michigan. So, yeah, that he's kind of a dark horse pick for me, even though he really shouldn't be a dark horse pick because he's so good at that track.
Now, I'm looking at the results from Fontana because it kind of runs similar. And, when I'm thinking about just people that could be in contention and everything, I think about all the way back in February when I was thinking, who could I be seeing getting the job done at Michigan? And I thought, okay, well, Fontana's kind of like Michigan, so let's see who ran well there. And I immediately thought of the number 8 car, and he almost won in Fontana, leading 90 laps, got involved with William Byron when Byron's engine blew, or excuse me, when Byron's tire blew into the turn. He just suffered some damage there, ended up having to settle for 24th, one lap down. But he was in contention. He could have won first stage and won the second stage. Looking like he was going to have a career day. Overall, with that being said, it ended up being Kyle Larson. Also, I would not be surprised to see Eric Jones be up in the front. He was in contention the entire race at Fontana. And if it drives any similar to what we saw at Fontana, 43 car would not be, I would not be surprised to see that 43 car battling for the lead. And he could surprise and potentially steal a bid for the playoffs. So Michael,
where's he from again too? Where's Eric Jones from?
I'm thinking a little town in Michigan.
Yep.
How about Byron, Michigan?
Yep. So hometown boy could get the W. I can see that coming.
Okay. And he just got a brand new contract extension. So hey, he's trying to break a winless streak since 2019. I'm thinking he is more than motivated. And when he got the job done at Darlington all the way back in 2019. Michael, let's dive into some dark horses, some contenders, and then your overall pick. You're the guest, so you're going to go first, my friend. Who you got getting the job done? And then who's going to be one of your sleepers you're going to be keeping your eye on this year? Or this weekend, sorry.
this year is a whole nother story.
I mean, but, yeah, for sure. But, goodness.
For this weekend, I think you gotta go back to the basics of who's been fast recently. And you know, the last oval, quote unquote, even though it was a triangle where you had a lot of speeds and stuff that we ran at, the fastest car was a number 11 Toyota who got disqualified, even though the tape, Denny said it really didn't add that much to it. So we'll find out if that was how much the tape played a factor in it. I think it didn't play that much of a factor, and a number 11 gets the W this weekend.
Denny Hamlin. Okay, that's not too shabby of a pick. I'm going to go with the guy I picked last week or the week before. I'm not really positive. I apologize. I'm going to go with the guy that won here last year, and he's going to go back to back. He's needing a win. He's probably solidly in the points or in the playoffs, but he's going to get some cushion. Ryan Blaney gets the W and gets his spot safely into the playoffs. The number 12 car goes to victory lane. Dark horse, I kind of already mentioned it. I'm going to go with the 43 car of Eric Jones. Boom.
He stole my dark horse pick.
Oh, please. Get another. You knew I was going to get a dark horse. Okay, if you want another one, a guy that I was very, very surprised at, kind of was battling in the top 10 at Fontana. I'm going to go Ricky Stenhouse Jr. How is that for a dark horse?
Oh, that's a pretty good one. You know what? I'll go a different one too, though, because since we've talked about Jones excessively at this point, let's go with a little bit further down. But not, a guy that's finished in the top 10 a lot recently. Let's go out on a limb and say Michael McDowell.
Good choice. Steven. Good pick. He's having the best season of his career, and he's been in the elite sport a very long time. Good to see Mr. McDowell run very, very well. Very nice to see that 34 car up front. Michael, let's dive into the checkered flag with some final thoughts, my friend.
Checkered flag, here I come. Oh, no!
Final thoughts are in the air. Final thoughts are waving here on this week of the August, the 2nd, 2022. Mr. Massey, anything you want to rant, rave, or share? Now is the time to do so before we call it a night, my friend. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, there was such a big deal made over Noah Gregson a couple weeks ago when he intentionally wrecked Sage Karam, and he was penalized 30 points and fined some money. And it was really only because a bunch of cars got taken out behind him, right? If that hadn't happened, he probably wouldn't be penalized because he wasn't parked during the race. But it shouldn't be about what happens after the wreck. It should be the intentional wreck itself gets yourself a penalty. And we've seen this past weekend, two intentional wrecks happen. Carson Hocevar wrecked Colby Howard, who was having a career day at IRP, the truck race. And Ryan Blaney intentionally wrecked Daniel Suarez after it was over. Both of those cases, those drivers deserve penalties. NASCAR set a precedent, penalize them the same way Gregson was penalized, or else you're just reacting to whatever social media tells you to do. And that's not a good look.
For me, I'm also going to touch on what Michael was talking about. It's just the lack of respect. And I don't want to make it into a dark path, but I kind of am. We didn't get much safety in NASCAR until the death of Dale Earnhardt in 2001. You know what happened? We got the Homs device. We got more, better, safer equipment. We got safer barriers, and we got safer. So what is it going to take? Are we going to have a guy injured? Are we going to have retaliation of a guy not being able to race for a couple weeks for this finally NASCAR to step in and say, okay, enough is enough. If you cause two or more wrecks, like Grant Enfinger was saying, you get sent to the back. Time and time again, these drivers in the ARCA and the trucks in the Xfinity are looking up and saying, oh, well, Joey Logano went five wide into turn one. Maybe I can do that. Oh, Ryan Blaney and Daniel Suarez wrecked after the checkered flag. I'm going to wreck a guy because, well, they were mad and I'm mad, so might as well. Younger drivers look up to these guys. And when you see Ross Chastain intentionally wreck Denny Hamlin for no apparent reason, or you see Ryan Blaney and Daniel Suarez battled out after the checkered flag, it does not set a good precedent. And for NASCAR to sit on their asses, also not a good precedent. So NASCAR, what is it going to take? I don't know. But it might want to stop now, or it is going to get a lot worse, a lot faster. Once again, big thanks to Daniel Hamrick. Big thanks to the goofball beard man that I call one of my best friends, Mr. Michael Massey. Massey, any final thoughts? Are you going to be writing your column this week, Fire on Fridays? If so, give a little bit of a tease to the audience. That's what we call a tease in the business, a little preview. And then promote your social media handles, my friend.
Yeah, so I haven't decided what I'm writing it on yet, but I am doing it.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate the preview there. Thank you.
But it will be fiery, and it will be on Fridays.
Crazy how that works. Wild.
And, but I'm sure there's just too much. There's so much to choose from that's been going on. It's hard to narrow it down. Also, check out on our YouTube page, the Front Stretch YouTube page. I've got a new video coming up each week. I do a Monday Night Racing recap video. And this week we've got two crew members from the NASCAR Xfinity Series as guest hosts, George Ballfans Jr. and Gabe Wood from Alpha Prime Racing and JD Motorsports.
Love Gabe Wood. Great guy. Follows me on Twitter, and the feeling is definitely mutual there. Good guy, Gabe. I unfortunately don't know the other one, so maybe I can get to know him. But once again, Fire on Fridays, Mr. Michael Massey does a fantastic job. It is must read every single, wait for it, you guessed right, Fridays. M_Massey22 is where you can find all his shenanigans on the Twitter. @TheBrianOwen is where you can find me and all my shenanigans. And for all the real and non-shenanigans, you can follow @FrontStretch. Michael, I love you, buddy. It's always a pleasure. And obviously we'll talk off the air, but let's talk soon on the air, a little down the road, bro.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on. I'll be back on here.
Yes, you will, my friend. Michael Massey, content director at Front Stretch. Once again, M_Massey22. Big thanks to Daniel Hemrick. Big thanks to everybody that supports the program. Front Stretch Podcast every single Wednesday and Stock Car Scoop every single Friday and every single Monday. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, FrontStretch.com today. For Michael Massey and everybody that supports Front Stretch Podcast, I am Brian Timothy Dillon Owen. I hope each and every single one of you has such a spectacular weekend. Next week, we're going to be recapping Michigan, previewing Richmond, and a little bit of everything in between. See you then.